Well, we're very happy to have with us now the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Vic, I'll tell you what, it is really getting exciting.
Isn't it?
I mean, the schedule's out and the draft is coming.
Yeah, we're 8 days and counting now, man.
Absolutely.
This is a beautiful thing. And we'll talk about the draft, but let's talk about the schedule that came out yesterday. And always a fun time to kind of look and get things in order. And I think the thing that strikes me, I mean, we know how tough the schedule is with – 8 of those games against teams that were in the playoffs last year. So that alone would make it tough, regardless of where the games are played. I don't think, however, that it's laid out so much in a way that where you say, hey, they've got brutal stretches. I mean, you could just call the whole thing brutal if you want, but the stretches don't seem to be, with just a couple of back-to-back road games, as daunting looking on paper as maybe we might think.
I remember last season when we were sitting around on our roundtables every week and we approached that death march where we were in the AFC North, five games out of the last 6 weeks or whatever. And it was, it was tough at that time of the year. And, you know, I remember all of those teams, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens, they were all playing for a ton.
Right.
I mean, because they all eventually got in the playoffs, but they were playing for byes and home field. So, I mean, that was very, very difficult for a team like the Browns. And at the time of the year that they played those teams and made that march, it was very, very difficult for them. So I do believe, it's spread out. You're going to see the Bengals, you know, pretty early. You'll be done with them. You're going to get a little bit more of a spread with Baltimore in the Thursday night game, and then when you get them here in Cleveland in November, and then you get the Steelers a little bit late. So that part of it is very unique. The end of the season, very, very, very interesting. With you're going to get a look in Denver at what's going on there, and we'll probably have a lot of answers how that all worked out by that time of the year. And then the Steelers at the end, always fun.
There's no question. And Jimmy, the real quirky thing about this schedule is that in week 3 of the preseason, they take on the Eagles at Cleveland Browns Stadium, and then of course in the opener September 9th, the Eagles are back at Cleveland Browns Stadium. And it'll just be fascinating to me to see how Pat Shurmur and staff handle, and I guess the same would be true to Andy Reid and the Eagles staff, how they're going to handle that, because that third game is we call it the tune-up. There's so much that goes on, not only in use of personnel. You get starters out there because you want to get them ready for the season, but it's more than that. I mean, I think strategically there are some things you do that I would think they're going to avoid doing, or at least change up, just because you turn right around in, 12 days or so, and you're playing that same team again in a game that counts.
Yeah, if you go to the third preseason game, like you mentioned, and they always call it the dress rehearsal game because it's as close to a regular season game as you're going to get. But I think, Vic, if we were yogurt, and on Friday, August 23rd, the Eagles are playing the Browns, knowing that they're going to play them in a couple of weeks, the flavor would be vanilla, because I don't think either team is going
to see where you're going with the yogurt analogy.
I don't think we're going to see an awful lot. I think that's going to be a rep game. You're going to get your reps in, but I don't think we're going to
Yogurt's going to taste like spackle, huh?
Yeah, we're not going to go in and get a great deal of what we're going to see on September 9th, because you're clearly you don't want to show an awful lot. And just the I know about you factor that's between the two organizations anyway, because there's been so much crossover. I mean, Pat was there for so many years. Tom Heckert has been there for so many years.
We've done
business with them, and you're right, Brad Childress has been there. So, I mean, you know, I think that it's a very interesting situation.
I think it's fascinating. And the other thing, Jim, is we talk about how we're going to find out about a team, and this team in particular, early on. We're going to presume that there are going to be younger guys, more young people, I should say, added to this team, obviously, from the draft, who will be playing, who will perhaps be starting. But you look at the first 6 weeks, and as we said last year, coming off of that lockout, the NFL was careful to push those divisional games into the latter part of the schedule. This year, you've got 3 divisional opponents in the first 6 weeks. So a lot of answers, and of course, 2 of those would be the Bengals played in those first 6 weeks. You're going to get a lot of answers, and you're going to know. And then 4 of the opponents are playoff teams, again, including the Bengals, from last year. I think from a test standpoint, from a how good we're, okay, where does this team stand? I think we're going to know a whole lot within a matter of, a month.
I would agree with you, and I look at, you know, this draft, which is fast approaching for us, and I think early in the draft, Vic, with those picks, if we stay where we are, if you stay at 4, 22, 37, and then, you know, but just take those 3 picks, I don't think it's really out of the norm that we would say that whoever they pick in those 3 picks, 2 of the 3 have got to be on the field on opening day.
Yeah.
And significant players, if not all of them.
Yeah.
Because
there's no doubt.
This team has needs. They have played their hand to say, we're going to go through the draft. I mean, they certainly had – they have not fibbed to any of you out there. They were not going to go out and be wild in free agency,
right,
no matter what we all say. It's tempting, but it doesn't make good business sense to them, and they want to do it through the draft. Well, here we are. We're in the draft, and these guys have to be players, and you've got a chance to get some elite players,
yeah,
and I think that they have to be on the field.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, and, of course, WKYC's own, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, talk more about this draft. So the fourth overall pick, so many options that this team could have, including the presumptive third pick, Matt Khalil, the offensive tackle for USC. Not necessarily a lock to, mm-hmm, to be the Vikings pick, because the Vikings could, they could pick someone else, but they also could trade out. And so that may make him available if a team isn't trading there to pick him. So the Browns could have that to consider. They could consider quarterback there. A lot of talk about Ryan Tannehill if he's not the third choice, maybe being there for the Browns. And Trent Richardson, if you – polling Browns fans informally right now, all the social media that we look into with the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, overwhelmingly – Trent Richardson, they want Trent Richardson. They want Trent Richardson, right, and they'll have a parade, I think, if Trent is picked. So is it that simple to you that of all the options we talk about, and then you throw Morris Claiborne in the corner from LSU, all the Justin Blackburn, the receiver from Oklahoma State, all those names, can you just say, let's just look at Trent Richardson as the safest pick and make the choice?
Well, I think he is, and I love everything about him.
Yeah.
And I even believe this, that you know, he comes out of a great offense for a running back down in Alabama. I mean, I think that Alabama, in many ways last year, Vic, put Trent Richardson, put them on his shoulders,
right,
because they weren't great at quarterback.
Right.
They did not have Julio Jones last year. He was gone. He was a Falcon last year. I think he was a great player. And I think in the one game they lost to LSU before they beat them in the BCS championship game, had they stayed with Richardson that night, but they kept getting away from him and trying to make big plays in the passing game and turn the ball over, and they had a horrendous night kicking the football in that game. But if they had stayed with Richardson, I think they would have been okay and probably won that ball game too, and there would have been no debate about, you know, is LSU the real great team or is it Alabama? The other thing is, I follow Tom Heckert, you know, and I follow him very closely. So now he comes into this draft, Vic, and I say 2 years ago, you know, it was simple, really. We probably outthought him. You know, they needed secondary help. They went and they got Joe Hayden, they got T.J. Ward.
Yeah.
Last year they were going to a 4-3. They needed defensive linemen and they needed some pressure, and they went and they got Phil Taylor and they got Jabal Sheard, and it really worked out. So this year I take a look at it. They need a running back. They need a right tackle. They need a wide receiver. And I think maybe if you follow that at some point early – they're going to fill those needs.
In those first 37 picks, those three picks, I'm with you 100%. I guess it's just a matter of what order. And then the question becomes how you identify depth at those positions.
Right.
Because if you really are keen on getting what looks like the best running back and one of the most dynamic players in the draft, then Trent Richardson's an easy choice at 4. What's not so easy is determining, okay, what the depth is at wide receiver, determining what the depth is at quarterback. If that's and that we know that's important to this team at some point, but then you're playing the presumably because of Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III gone with the first two picks, that you're playing the game between what is the drop-off between Ryan Tannehill and Brandon Whedon, if in fact that's how it falls. And you could see a scenario of Trent Richardson 4 and say Brandon Whedon at 22, or again, maybe it's Tannehill at 4 and maybe it's a receiver at 22.
Right.
Maybe this is where – is Michael Floyd available that low? I don't know. Is Kendall Wright from Baylor available? Floyd, of course, from Notre Dame. I don't know. Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech, a very interesting, complete, smart receiver. I do like him a lot to be taken there. And then perhaps you are now into the second round. Is that where Kirk Cousins from Michigan State,
sure,
a quarterback? So it just leads to a lot of thoughts.
Well, the quarterback pick is obviously the wild card for the Browns. When do you do it? How high do you do it? And who are you going to do it with? I want to throw one thing out as I pitch to you, and I don't think it's a hard pitch to get Richardson, okay? I want to go back 2 years ago when Colt McCoy started 8 games.
Yep.
I thought he looked better in the 8 games that year than many times he looked in the 13 that he played for the Browns last year.
No question.
Why? He had a running game. Peyton Hillis was a different beast. He almost ran for 1,200 yards in that season. Those in-between downs, Vic, of third and three and third and two, those short yardage situations that the Browns were in last year and a little bit queasy about, what do we do? Because we don't have any we don't have Hillis for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And he's not the Hillis of the year before when he was in there. What do? Well, we throw, but we were congested and we didn't get first downs. We didn't control the game.
Right.
I think that when you put a running game in there and you put a kid like Richardson in there, I think McCoy will instantly look better. And I think that's the argument that I think a lot of people around the Browns are using to bring Colt back, is that if we put more around him, he's instantly going
to
look better.
And I think then the other point to make is that in 2010, with a running game, and he was a better player, and I fully agree, in many of those games of eight that he played in 13 in 2011, the missing link, though, was defense. The defense did not play as well as it played in 2011. I mean, you didn't have those games where the defense put you in position to win, and it was the offense that couldn't close the sale for the most part, right?
Yes.
Make enough plays. So, yeah, to your point, if you are playing with a presumably improved defense that, if nothing else, gets better just because the Jabal Shears and the Phil Taylors have more experience, the Joe Haydens have more experience, T.J. Ward healthy for a full year, missed more than half of last year, and the understanding of Dick Geron's scheme, 4-3 scheme year two. So, yeah, putting that all together, I think, Jimmy, makes for a nice – possibility or prospect of improvement.
I think that McCoy felt very lonely for a lot of the season last year, missing the running game. Go to week two against Indianapolis.
It was
had a little bit of a running game. Hillis ran for close to 100. He was just shy of it, but he also busted a run off.
The Browns set the tone in that game.
They set the
whole
tone
way
with the running game. Yeah. I know it's a West Coast offense, everybody, but still, I think you'd like to be able to run the ball, and I think you have to do it in this division, and certainly when it's Thanksgiving in November and December, you really have to do it.
You are not going to get, as I said, many arguments from most of the people who respond. Jim, thank you so much for your time, as always, and we'll revisit with you soon.
Vic, it is really getting exciting.
It is. 8 days to the draft. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game.